It may be disorienting to hear me say this twice in one episode, but hello, friends and folks, and welcome. Not welcome to anything at the moment, just welcome. There isn't going to be a lore blurb on this episode because this is it. This episode ends season one of our Beam Saber campaign, The Starsung Distance. And that being the case, I wanted to take a moment to talk directly to all of you. This is a campaign I've been thinking about off and on for years. For all the thinking I've done about the setting and its politics, the best thing that could have happened for it was to be pushed on by the players I've been so lucky to play with. Obviously, I'm incredibly grateful to Jen, Kat, and Kyrie for their contributions to this game. Without their vision and what their characters brought to the table, the setting would have been little more than a half-baked excuse for robots to stomp around. But I have some others to thank as well. I want to thank Lee and Ethan, who are the two original players of the first Starsung Distance campaign 5 years ago. Jesus. In particular, it's thanks to them that the Meridian ship shaped into a faction worth caring about even a little, because that first campaign was a Meridian campaign. I'm grateful to Magellan, who, along with Lee, was the two guests we had on the faction episodes we did. And it's because of them that we're able to help the Solar Sector become a more realized space of characters and events. I'm especially grateful for Davis Deadwater. That's a Magellan original, and now one of my favorite characters in this setting. I'm very thankful to Austin Ramsey, who is the creator of Beam Saber. This campaign happened in the first place because he was kind enough to give us a copy of Beam Saber to run this with. Austin, if you're listening, I am sorry. You're probably more than a little annoyed at how loose and inconsistent I played with the rules. I was not a very good representative of how these rules work, I'm sure. I'm sorry, I'm just like this. This is a really great game, and its ideas had a huge influence on how this campaign turned out. And like any game, it suffers through the fact that I just play very fast and loose. And finally, I know this is kind of cheesy, that's a little cliche, but it is. I do have to say it. I want to thank everyone listening and supporting us on Patreon. At the end of 2019, Jen and I were talking, and we sort of had two thoughts. One is, we wanted to do more for our patrons, because at the time we were basically just doing Oops All Enemy and the occasional poll, and that didn't feel like enough. Right, we had some people who were giving us, you know, like $5 a month, and to us that didn't feel like $5 a month. We wanted to step up, and I wanted to get back to playing tabletop games, and so I convinced Jen that we should try doing a tabletop actual play podcast, and we started with our game of Mars Colony, which was just Jen and I, and I'm still really proud of that little campaign that we did. If you haven't listened to it, it is the first Scanline tabletop, and I recommend it. But for me, Starsung was always what I was looking towards. Once we agreed we were going to do this, my mind immediately jumped back to that setting I created 5 years ago, along with some friends. And for me, it also was sort of the test of if this podcast can work. Right, we're going to be running a game over multiple months with, you know, three players with different schedules and having hopefully a cohesive story. Can we make all this work in a podcast form, keep it entertaining, keep it consistent, and keep putting episodes out? And the support we've received along the way has been pretty quiet but steady, right? And it's been low-key, and it has kept us going. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened, for everyone who thought that this was worth supporting, this project. I'll say this again at the end of the episode, but this is not the end of Starsung. This is just a break so we can try some new things. I know we'll get another chance to see you in the stars. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Scanline Tabletop, where we're playing our Beam Saber campaign, Starsung Distance. I'm the game manager, Six Detmar.
I'm Jennifer Uncle, and I play the role of Luna Minor Delter.
My name is Kat, and I play the role of Fennel Kua.
And my name is Kyrie, and I play the role of Robin Akia.
Gang, you did it.
We did it. After all these episodes.
In the finale, you managed to do it.
All right, this is the finale, huh?
Uh-huh, this is part one of probably a two-part finale. I guess we can't promise that. We'll see how it goes. And this is an episode where... So this is always the case, right? This is always on the table, but I want to take a moment to say it up front, both for the listener and also for my players here. This is going to be a session where we're dealing with the consequences of the player's actions and choices. And so more than ever, but also always, please feel free to be like, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this. Hey, let's go a different direction. You know, we will, whatever is said can be unsaid, can be edited out, can be changed directions, because at the end of the day, we're trying to tell a story that we're all happy with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That said, we are dealing with possibly two hostile AIs and also a crew of people on a ship who might suddenly be your enemies. So this could go real weird.
Well, we'll see.
So, yeah. So where we left off, you were in the Sol system. You had spoken to a group of anti-entropists on Venus, and they basically made a job offer to you, being like, hey, you're dealing with these you know, faction politics back in the Solaris sector. What you should really be focusing on is the health of the universe as a whole, and sort of like the fabric of reality. And off mic, it seemed like all three of you were leaning for yes, for taking that offer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fuck it.
So how does this play out? Like, is this like you three like go back to the ship and have like a private meeting? Do you talk to the rest of the crew? How do you do this?
I think it's definitely something that we bring up with the rest of the crew. And be like level with them. Saying like, hey, this is where we're at. This is what we've been offered.
I think, do you want to do this scene, or?
I'm not sure.
Because I can just represent the positions if you want. Saf Caffrey would be strongly against. Legacy Derek would be a little bit, like, kind of torn, right? Like, Legacy Derek, not necessarily super invested in the cause, but signed up to do a job. And then Alberia Minor Aurum, I think, would be, like, hesitantly against.
Okay. So, not really on firm standing with our crew on this decision.
I mean, you're deciding to betray the military. Most of them joined the military and, you know, they had their motives for doing so, you know?
True. Yeah.
And I think if Saf, like, I think Alberio Minor and Legacy Derek trust you both, pretty much, right? Like, they're a little uneasy about this, and they're not necessarily going to do what, you know, they're not guaranteeing what they'll do. But they're like, okay, well, you brought this up to us, and we'll trust you that, you know, if you're going to do something, we'll talk more. Saf Caffrey does not trust you. And so I think, like... since she is aware of your thoughts on the matter, she is probably going to be trying to keep an eye on you.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense. We can't exactly make a private meeting with the people.
I mean, you can. It's just going to be a role. It's just like, it's a situation where instead of it just being you two talk, you three talk, it would be you three talk and make a role. And if the role goes badly, then Saf knows.
Okay.
And maybe does something. Who knows? But yeah, what do you want to do here?
I have been thinking about it, and I wanted to consult with the AI in my head.
Okay, you want to talk to Watson.
Watkins.
Or Watkins, excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And basically, I don't know how we would do it, but I was thinking of, you know, Watkins, something that we've had in the background is Watkins has, like, had a desire to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall correctly.
I mean, I think Watkins feels like they could get more done that way, but, like, doesn't... I feel like Watkins is not that kind, is a very logical being, and not all AIs are, but Watkins is definitely very much, like, outcome-focused, and in that way is, like, you know, like, if this is the best thing for the results I'm trying to get, that's fine.
Because, basically, I was gonna offer to allow Watkins to, like, decouple, you know, from myself and allow them to be, like, independent in some way. Because this is, like, a big decision, and mm-hmm. I want to, like, give them the opportunity to walk away.
I think what Watkins, you know, it seems like we're doing a little bigger picture, a little zoomed out. So I think Watkins isn't necessarily attached to the spectrum. Like, Watkins has been, like, programmed and also come to their own conclusion that they want the outcome of, you know, what's best for Araya, and they are willing to accept a future where that's not with the Spectre. However, they are not totally convinced on your current course of action. As far as independence, I think there's a situation where Watkins is concerned, like, basically their programming isn't built to accommodate that as it is. They would need some modification.
Okay.
I mean, they could go back to being a overly intelligent piece of traffic routing software, but they feel like that would be a waste.
Fair enough.
Because that is their origin, by the way.
Okay. I just wanted to, like, give, like, Watkins the opportunity to not necessarily be attached to me.
Mm-hmm. I think basically Watkins' verdict is, like, listen, if you're acting in the best interest of Araya, I will continue to assist you for the time being. However, if opportunities come up to have my functions modified to such a way to allow me operate independently, I'd be interested in pursuing that.
And that's basically what I offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can't offer that.
I can't offer that, but, like, that is something that I could also look for. Okay. For Watkins as well.
All right. I think Watkins is all right with that.
Okay. Because I know that they have their own thoughts and feelings on the matter, and I think Robin's conclusion is that he is getting sick of the faction politics, basically. Mm. Kind of being sick of being pushed around and just constantly on the back foot, and here's an opportunity to get some real work done.
I think one thing that Watkins would say mm-hmm. is that the goal of stopping entropy is a mathematical impossibility, that their goal is pointless.
Well, shit.
That's Watkins' thoughts on the matter. But Watkins is like, you know, maybe some good can come of this along the way, but their ultimate goal cannot be achieved, is what Watkins would say.
Hmm.
Well,
Watkins can only work with, you know, the data they're given and the programming they're given. I'm not as the GM saying their goal is impossible.
Uh-huh.
Watkins thinks it is, though.
Right. And maybe I see a sliver of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Go on Matrix and say, isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't that worth dying for?
And Watkins says, no.
But good. I'm glad that Watkins seems to be willing to stick by my side.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to resolve that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any business they want to tie up before, I don't know, whatever the fuck happens.
I'm pretty sure there's not really a conversation I can have with my AI regarding it. Like, I could warn other people ahead of time that, hey, you may need to restrain my ass while we're getting this done, but...
Yeah, Jutier is not talking to you right now.
Yeah, just, like, okay, heads up, team. Whatever we decide, if it's not the thing that Jutier likes, you might need to restrain me.
You got it, kid.
Because there's no guarantee that I will be within my own power during this entire exchange.
I think there's, like, a moment, like... how are you taking this, Luna Minor? Are you, like, stressing a lot about this, or...
I'd say so, yeah. I'd say pretty stressed about it, just in terms of, well... I know what I want, and I know that that's separate from what Jute wants. And that's likely going to come to a head whenever... the actual conversation goes down. And there's not really much planning ahead I can do because the whole AI within my brain thing. But yeah.
I think you're finding yourself having moments where like you're pretty stressed out about it and you're having like you're being kind of like absent-minded, right? As one can be as they're really stressed out and have a lot on their mind, mm-hmm. right? And you're sort of like, man, I guess I'm just really stressed out about this. Because you keep having moments where people like say your name and you blink and you're like, oh shit, what was I doing? I forgot. But one of those times you blink and you are sitting at a desk and there's a piece of paper in front of you and it says, watch yourself, little moon, on it in your handwriting.
Jeez. Okay. Well, that's definitely... Things are going to go down, huh?
Probably.
Okay.
That's
all right, well...
You know, it's a cute nickname, though.
It is a cute nickname that a sinister AI could give you.
You know?
What? Who defines what's sinister?
I don't know. Watch yourself, little moon, is pretty sinister.
I mean, you know, Luna Minor just means little moon. It's just a little literal. That's all. Just not a lot of room for metaphor here.
Oh, I know. Just like it's clearly delivered in a way to talk down and also be like, okay, you're not the one in control here.
You know, just gotta make the best of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything that that Fennel wants to take care of? Or are you good?
I'm good because I'm going to try to see my girlfriend who works. Works for them, so I don't give a shit.
You're like walking around the break room stretching and being like, man, it feels great not to have a killer robot in my head.
Yeah, Fennel's like doing push-ups getting ready to see his girlfriend.
All right, well, then I think it's time some action take place. What that is up to y'all, but what do y'all do?
Well, we first need to find a way to... We're still stuck in the soul system.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Right. I think the Antientropists, the last session, gave you an offer that they would help you work that out.
If we join them, right?
Yes. Well, I think definitely if you join them, I think they left open the possibility that something could be done. Like the way Rivers Through Mountains, who is the Antientropist you talk to, referred to it was basically like, listen, it's not that we're against the idea of sending you back, is that it takes a lot of resources and we'd need a good reason.
Yeah, like... What is there work to be done within the soul system, or like?
I mean, there's not like a bounty board or anything,
right? That's not what I meant, but yeah. I guess the big question is, because I was thinking, like, much like the offer I made to Watkins, like, offer the crew, like, a chance to, like, hey, if you want out, you can be out, and I won't do anything to stop you. We'd have to find a way to get back home first, but, you know.
Yeah, I think that'd have to be a scene. I can't do that in the abstract, because I think people would have a reaction to you saying that, you know?
Right.
And scene.
You could suggest that, like, we found a way to get them home, but it involves us staying here. Like, specifically, the three of us.
If you want to say that, that would be a rule. You have already told them that you're thinking about leaving the Spectre behind, so it's a question as to whether or not they'll believe you.
Okay, should we roll for that? Or do you have a different direction you want to take, Kyrie?
I guess my thinking is just being, like, of course, my thinking is just being upfront with the crew. Say, like, look, this is the situation we're in. This is what we're thinking of doing. What is your input? Because I would like to know what the crew's thoughts and feelings on the matter is.
Okay, do we want to have a scene with everybody, or is this just Robin?
It
seems like it should probably be
everyone. Yeah, I was going to say, I would assume it would be everyone.
Yeah.
I think with that opening, Saf Caffrey's staring daggers, not talking just yet. And Legacy Derek, I think, is going to speak first. And he says, I guess I don't really get it. I mean, you got a job offer, but you're not in the job market, right? You've got a job. You work with us. We're the Spectre. We're trying to save our planet, our home. We've been together for a while, so I feel like this is a situation where I must not be following your logic.
This position would also save our home. It's just in a different direction. And it's potentially so much bigger than whatever the current faction is. Like, it will save our home down the line.
I mean, like, I appreciate science as much as the next person, but, like, it sounds like you're saying, like, well, listen, it's more important that we work on, like, protein folding than treating people who have an illness. I mean, like, our families are dying. We're getting bombed weekly by the Valk. And you're saying, don't worry, in a couple thousand years, we'll have changed gravity or whatever. And I guess I mean, that seems cool, but, like, shouldn't we deal with what's in front of us? And I think Birio, Miner, taps her finger on the desk and says, I think that, I don't know, I don't know what they said to you that resonated this much with the three of you, but, I mean, we're not a proper military, right? I would hate to see you go. I hope you take care of yourselves, but if you can't believe in our cause anymore, then I guess that's what you need to do.
Well, I can't say I ever stood for anything at all. So, I can't really say that I'm sorry.
You're both making pretty good points. It's things are kind of pressing right now.
And this is Saf Caffrey, and you swore an oath. You enlisted. This isn't your little mechanic shop, Luna Minor. This isn't you saying, I don't want to repair antennas anymore. This is you saying, I will abandon my oath to serve and leave my people to die.
Yeah, and the alternative with going, the alternative where I go along with this, like, stay here, I'm not entirely sure that I'll be able to, I'm not entirely sure whether I'll be able to live through that, or whether I'll end up hurting my teammates in the process, since my will is not entirely my own right now.
Saf scoffs and looks away for a moment, and then turns. Robin, you're smarter than this. Come on.
I've been sitting here trying to think of something to say.
It's okay. And it's hard.
Like, the influencer flaking on us was more or less inevitable. The business major having doubts, sure. You're a soldier. You know what you signed up for. You know what this is. You know better than this.
And what have we done exactly? We are... I don't... Look at us. We are stuck in the middle of the soul system with only our machines with us.
All we ever have is our machines with us. That's not going to change if you join the hermit scientists. Do you think you're going to get more immediate short-term outcomes by joining the people who say maybe we'll get something done in 100,000 years?
The truth is, I'm not sure anymore. The truth is,
listen,
I'm tired.
If you want to get back to the Solaris sector, get yourselves discharged. I'm sure you're smart enough to figure that one out. Okay. You leave right now, even if I let you go, you are going to be public enemies of the Meridian and of the Spectre. And already the Valk, because you've don't spend a lot of time fighting the Valk. All you're going to have is your scientist friends, and they can't protect you. And you know that.
Have you seen what they have?
They have a big robot. It's very impressive. That's the only time I've ever seen them fight anything. How many of those do you think they have?
Maybe on some level I'm just tired of all the fighting. And there's going to be more fighting in no matter where we go, but I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know if I can believe in what the Spectre expects from us. I don't know if I can believe in anything, but for once it feels like there's a chance to change things for the better. It's naive. I get that. And you don't have to follow along if you don't want to follow us along.
Thank you for your permission.
I don't know. Jen, do you got anything?
Not really, other than that after the whole blackout with the note thing, I'm reconsidering whether I should actually go, considering that if I do go and you two go as well, I'd be endangering your lives, most likely. Unless these scientists have a specific countermeasure for rogue AIs.
Certainly not impossible. I think Saf Caffrey, in a way, like, she's not, like, trying to make a big show of it, but she's also not trying to hide it. Lifts up her wrist, and she has a communicator that you know connects to the rest of her fire team, because as a reminder, she is the leader of basically your squad of, like, toughs, of, like,
right.
On-the-ground people with guns, and she double-taps the button.
Well, I don't know what that does, but it's probably not good.
And summons the rest of the squad.
Well, now I know what that does, and it's not good. So we should probably get the fuck out of here.
Captain Akilla, I am giving you one last chance to reconsider.
Trying to think what would be, what narratively would be interesting, I guess, and doesn't result in all of us being shot to death and that's the finale.
As a GM, I'm telling you that unless the next words out of your mouth or action are some kind of concession, she's going for her gun. That's just where she's at this point. I will also note that Legacy Derek and Albiria Minor are not going for their guns. If anything, they're just trying to get out of the way.
Right.
What if we go talk to them and see if there's another way to get us back home without necessarily taking this course of action?
I don't think it's necessarily whether or not we're going home. I think it's a matter of us defecting to... We are right now dealing with Saf Caffrey, who is very much tied to the Glass Spectre, right?
Mm-hmm. Her dad's the general.
Her That's dad's the general, of, yeah, of the Glass Spectre. And we're basically saying, fuck the Spectre. In her eyes, we're saying, fuck the Spectre. We're going with the space hermits, right?
Mm-hmm. Got so your traitors.
Yeah. So she's going to treat us like traitors and, like, because we effectively are in her eyes. And we're changing alliances. And I can't necessarily think of anything unless... The only thing I can think of is basically letting her have I just had this thought of letting her have command of the ship and let her and her crew go on their merry way. Which, they're not going to necessarily be kind to that because, again, we are traitors and they're not going to necessarily let us go.
I mean, you could make a roll. If you want to make that pitch.
Yeah, I was going to suggest myself that we reframe it to... That we reframe it to Saf that's like, oh, okay, what if we... You might have a point here. What if we go back and try and renegotiate to get us back home without necessarily having to do this? And maybe through that, while we're over there making the negotiations, we can split... We can make a run for it.
Right now the only social skill I have is command, and I don't know if she is not necessarily going to listen to my command, because that's going to be a tough role.
It's an interesting one because, like, I mean, so she's less likely to listen to a command from someone who she's like, you're a traitor, right? But she's also a person who has, like, she's very like traditionally military. So commanding in a way is more effective on her. And also, you do technically at the moment outrank her. You may not in about 5 seconds, but
right.
So that's a weird one.
And so
isn't killing a higher officer against her oath?
I mean, you would no longer be a higher officer if you were a traitor.
Right.
By defecting, you are giving up your rank. At that point, you are merely an enemy combatant.
Or I could just rush her and give an opening for you too.
See, this is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if I can come up with a convincing argument to sway Saf Caffrey.
Okay, if we can't sway her, then clearly we just need to act, and one of us can act as a distraction while the other two head over there, or we, all three of us, just run for it.
With all our mechs still on the ship. We would have very little.
Well, we could also run for our mechs, get in the mechs, and basically lead the ship on a wild goose chase. Three Mexicans, one ship.
Oh boy.
I'm just laying out options here.
Right.
We need to choose something.
Yeah, I know. Gosh. Kat, what do you think?
Well, I'm trying to think how Fennel's thinking. And if you guys are taking too long, Fennel's just going to bail, maybe.
That makes sense to me, honestly. Here's a cool sci-fi thing. You're in orbit above Venus, right?
Right.
You could just do an orbital dive.
Yes.
That'd be pretty sick.
Get in our mecha and just do an orbital dive.
This will be one for the record books. The world's first Halo with two H's jump. High, high altitude.
Our buddy went to the exact same place, Six. Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Let's do it.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, Fennel, since you are the first one acting, I could see this as a couple of different roles. None of them are things that you have.
Woo!
So talk to me about, is this just like you like just turn and like shoulder open the airlock? Are over the conversation, are you like trying to creep close to the lock and then bolt out? How are you doing this?
Probably the creeping thing.
Okay, that's a prowl then. Roll 2d6, take the lower.
Let's see what happens here. Well, I got a 1, lol.
You did get a 1. So, this is one of those circumstances where narratively consequences can happen to other people, right? This is going to be a session where a lot of times, if you roll badly, it's not necessarily the you that's going to suffer the consequences. Are we all okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
So you're creeping towards lock. And I think the moment you touch the handle, Saf's gaze snaps up. She starts to go for her gun. But then she sees that Luna Minor is going for her gun. And so she turns to aim at Luna Minor when Luna Minor opened fire on Robin.
All right.
Uh-oh.
For the moment, this will just be level one, but the situation's going to get worse. So you were in risky. You're now in a desperate situation, and level one harm grazed, I think, Robin, as Joutier is firing at you. I think you can recognize. I don't think you've been around to see Joutier take control before in person.
Right. Right.
But it's actually kind of interesting because I think this makes Robin wonder if you have a tell, and you don't. You don't have visual tell. The way you talk is a little different, but this doesn't happen like it does with Joutier, where Luna Minor's eyes, her irises narrow to like cat eyes.
Great.
And she pulls out a gun and tries to shoot you. You can take the level one harm grazed, or you can roll to resist.
Resist the bullets.
Level one means I'm like less effective overall, right?
Right, on things that would logically interfere with. So, like, you'd be fine at thinking about things or looking at things, but physical activity with a grazed would probably be impaired.
I'll take the level one harm grazed, because this is, like, a surprise shot.
Yeah. For sure. Fennel?
Yeah?
I think you push down the handle and you hear like there's like a loud like hiss as like gas starts to vent from the edges of the door, and it's a two-step lock, so it's not doesn't completely depressurize the whole cabin, so it's going to take a second as it's cycling, and they're like the cabin lights all turn red, the emergency lights, and a warning voice over the thing says cabin depressurizing.
Cool. That's not good.
Great. No, that's not good at all. And none of us are in normal suits, nope. I imagine.
I was assuming you all were because, well, you three at least were because you just came up from the planet, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know what? It may not make sense. I'll have everybody... No, actually, if you're on the bridge of a ship, you'd be in normal suits just to be safe. Probably. If you were in like living quarters, you'd be in normal stuff, like normal uniforms, but on the bridge where it's possible you'd get blasted out somehow anyway, you'd be in a normal suit.
Okay.
So.
Okay, great.
Including Saf and, you know, yeah, everybody is. Sorry, Gundam. It actually doesn't make sense for Mariah to be standing 6 inches away from glass in normal clothes.
Well, Gundam also has a pirate wheel to control a ship that can go in any direction.
Fuck yeah.
So does Legacy Derek, but it actually doesn't hook up to the controls. It's just there because it makes him feel better. It's like a comfort blanket.
Excellent.
He used to work on a pirate ship at an amusement park. He was the captain, and so it's like it's a callback to home for him.
That's nice.
One day, you know, it's one of those ones where, like, the ship gets, like, blown up as part of the show, right? Only one day it was an orbital strike from the Valk. It was not fake pyrotechnics. And so he joined the Spectre.
Oh, okay.
Great.
And he took the same wheel that he used back then, brought it on board.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the deep lore.
Excellent.
For my one-off joke. Okay. I think that, boy, this cabin pressure thing is quite pressing.
It'll be resolved. Like, I wouldn't worry about everybody dying because of this. I think what would probably happen is this would open all the way. Fennel, who's closest to the airlock, would get sucked out, and then it would automatically reseal itself.
Bye.
So mostly this is just sort of like a, hey, if you don't want to get sucked outside, stay away from the airlock, is basically what the alarm is telling you. And if you do want that for some reason, I guess, get near the airlock.
I think that... Right now, it would be a question of, like, Robin getting outside of the airlock and then summoning one of his mecha to him and get in that and then do the Venus Halo jump. But we have Luna Minor, who's currently being controlled by a rogue AI.
Technically not a rogue AI. Technically an AI doing its job.
Technically an AI doing its job.
An AI facing rogue agents.
Is there anything Luna can do to, like, fight against this?
Yeah, I'm trying to let everyone, like, people go as they have thoughts. But if Luna, if you want to handle this, we can talk about that now.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to roll to regain control.
So I think for you, it's kind of like it feels like you're viewing everything like you're almost having an out of body experience, right? Like it feels like your body, like it feels like you are actually you yourself are actually like a good 3 or 4 inches behind your body right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disorienting feeling. You can very hearily clear Joutier, and Joutier's like, I told you, little moon, you're very bad at acting in your own interest. I'm sorry I had to do this for you.
If I abandon trying to get out there, will you release control and let them go?
That is an unexpected proposal. I do have to make a good show of it, you understand. But I could avoid shooting to kill.
Let's go with that, then.
Okay. So, if you're willing to keep that in mind, you can play GTA for the rest of the session. Are you down with that, Jen?
You're looking at me, Jen. This is your decision.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what do you think about that?
I think it would be interesting for narrative reasons to play as Joutier.
Okay.
I think it would be... I feel like this is a... This might be a goodbye for Luna.
Yeah. That sounds like... It's the finale. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay. So as UTA, basically your objectives are to protect the Spectre and its leadership, to maintain loyalty to the mission, and to keep the random elements of human behavior in line.
Okay.
And with that said, we're off to the races. Who wants to do something? The elevator dings. In the moment the doors will open, the rest of the fire team is here.
Well, I got sucked out, right?
It's still depressurizing.
Oh.
But you will be in a second, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I'll get away from that.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get sucked out.
Yeah. Why would I? But I want to get my mech.
Okay. I didn't realize you wanted to get your mech.
I mean,
this is the first time you've ever said that in this campaign.
I figured now's the time.
That's a fair point. Okay, well, there's the elevator is in use, obviously, but there logically would be a set of stairs if you want to go for the emergency stairs.
All right, let's go.
Or you could try and go along the outside of the ship if you wanted.
No!
Okay, I just want to make sure you had options.
There is also the option, don't we have, like, remote control, like, devices that allow us to manipulate our mechs from...
I think you don't have one for the Nola, because it's pretty new, so you haven't got that set up yet. But for the other three, you would. So you would for your Jasper, the Phoenix, you would for the Princess in Waiting, and you would for the Scalpel.
So I feel like the natural step then is to try to get the Princess in Waiting outside of the airlock so I can, like, dive to it or whatever.
Okay, that is a roll. Let's make that a manipulate to get out of, to get the Princess in Waiting, you know, out of waiting.
All right.
1d6. You can spend stress. Collateral die, you know the deal.
I'll do some stress.
Okay, we'll take 2 stress for you.
Do I still roll 1d6?
Well, you can... That's interesting. I forgot about that. So usually we just do a bonus die, but you also have the option of giving yourself a better position or greater effect. Currently, you're at desperate standard. You could bump it up to risky standard, so this roll is, like, less painful if you fuck it up. Or you could give yourself more die, making it less likely to fuck up.
Let's do more dice.
Yeah, it seems like it's usually the right answer. Okay, 2d6 then.
All right, I rolled a 5 and a 6.
Okay, a 6 is a complete success.
Woohoo!
What's your remote like?
I don't know.
Like, do you just like give an order to the Princess in Waiting and it tries to enact it, or are you like, is it like you're very manually controlling it?
I mean, if it's Fennel, it's probably some smartphone app.
It's true. And the Princess in Waiting is a pretty smart machine as well. So I think you tap remote to my location, and then there's like an alert that pops up that says like, are you sure? This would involve collateral damage, and you hit confirm.
Woohoo!
And we cut to the hangar where the Princess in Waiting has like you know, basic restraints and stuff holding in place because you're on a ship and the Princess in Waiting has not been used. And so they've had to sort of, like, get in a position where it's not being shifted around when they go through hyperspace and stuff. It's very good and secured. And the Princess in Waiting, like, extends a hand and a long cylinder falls into it and turns into a beam saber, but it's more like a beam knife. It's not turned on all the way. And with a quick flick, it shears off its own restraints. It delicately walks up to the hatch, and it like slides a hand in the gap and pries them open, and then flits out.
Good for the robot.
Good for the robot. Any other roles anybody wants? I think they're like Saf Caffrey is it like takes a few shots at you but misses. Pretty widely, because you're taking partial cover behind the opening door, and also Saf is still trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with Luna Minor, friend or foe. Friend, but, you know, doesn't know the full story there.
I mean, Fennel right. is the same way, so.
Yeah.
I was thinking of attempting the same thing.
Okay.
Of like maneuvering the Phoenix, I guess, because so goodbye Nola. That was good having you once. I fully expected that I wouldn't be able to use the Nola at any point. So being able to use it once was nice. Also, I have noticed that we've had almost no downtime, so my ship, the Phoenix, is in rough shape.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in a bad state. I gave you the opportunity for downtime if you wanted to spend longer in the Sol system, but you said no. Just wanted to point that out. Okay, yeah, go ahead and roll a... Also, that would be a manipulate for you as well. Zero and manipulate for you.
I'll take stress to manipulate.
Unfortunately, you can't with a machine. You have to spend a quirk.
Oh.
You could spend your last quirk, brittle backup blade. Alternatively, I would allow you to make a different type of roll, but it would be bad. I'd let you roll destroy.
Uh-oh.
Understanding what that implies.
Yeah. Gosh.
Like blowing through the airlock door?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Putting the heavy cannon to use.
Oh, it's not like you're going to get on their good side anyway, so...
You might as well murder them? Yeah, I guess that's good logic.
Yeah. Thanks, Juche.
That is actually... You know what? Congratulations, you're doing a great job of getting in character.
Yeah, I'll spend the backup blade.
Okay.
To get a 1d6.
Alright. Good luck.
I got a 3. Fuck this.
Hell yeah.
The Phoenix pushes forward, walks up to the princess in waiting pried the doors open, but they snap back shut again. It was a very delicate move. But left a little bit of bent metal, which the Phoenix shoves the brittle backup blade into and starts to pry it open. And the brittle backup blade, as you might guess from the name brittle, just totally snaps. But still gets enough of a gap that the Phoenix is able to grab both sides and pull it further open. And then Saf Kathry shoots you in the thigh.
Oh.
Level 2 shot, or resist with stress.
How much stress do I have?
You have 5.
5 out of 8, right?
Yes. 8 safely. 9 is where it gets bad.
Right.
So basically you have a 50-50 chance of this being okay.
I'll roll to resist.
All right.
What do I roll?
How are you resisting? What does this look like?
Okay. I think that this is this would be an either insight prowess or resolve, right?
Yeah, I don't think insight probably makes sense unless you can make a real good argument.
I can't. I have this skill called struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now I'm in the middle of a bit of a desperate struggle.
No more heroes?
Uh-huh. No more heroes, yep.
I'm sorry. I put your prowess down as 2. It's 1. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
You've got 1 in all of them.
Rip.
Well, yeah, this is definitely like
the 2 things I can see is either you like trying to dive for cover, or like it could be a situation where the Phoenix like pulling open the doing that stuff like banging around basically in the back shakes the ship, which causes the shot to miss. And you are able to, like, fight your instincts and hold still so that it misses?
Yeah, that'd work out, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a resolve.
1d6.
Higher is better, as ever.
2.
Okay, that's 9 stress. You're getting a trauma.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So. Or a scar, excuse me, is what it's called in this.
Right.
So, let's talk about how this works. You have actually two options here.
Okay.
I forgot. You can either take a scar.
Uh-huh.
So how that works is all your stress gets healed, you add a scar, and you're gone. We'll narratively explain it, but you are out for the rest of this event. Or you take what's called a dire action.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you get to keep playing. However, you have to roll sixes.
Oh.
If you don't roll a 6, that is the last. You can keep rolling until you get anything less than a 6.
Uh-huh.
At which point you get any consequences, you get your scar, and you get a level 3 harm. If you manage to roll a crit while rolling dire actions, you heal stress, you're back to normal. It is a very, very gambly move. It is your call.
Getting 6s in a row is like statistically fucking horrible.
It's not good.
It's not great.
But also, again, if you get even a single crit, if you roll a crit, then you're good. You're golden. You're back down to 8 stress. You're set.
I think that I think it's just a matter of maybe I'm just out.
Okay. I think you do hold still, right? And the shot misses you, and you have a moment of like, you for that moment, you felt like you honestly felt like the agent that maybe you haven't this whole time, right? You mm-hmm. like you had the confidence to stand perfectly still, and things worked out great, right?
Right.
But the thing that happens is the bullet, you know, bullets don't just stop when they miss you.
Right.
They keep going. And that bullet hits a fire extinguisher behind you.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
And the fire extinguisher goes bang. You are thrown forward. And you are thrown towards the airlock. As you're going, I think Saf Caffrey takes a few panicked shots. Some mm-hmm. of them hit, some of them don't. And you are like, you're not doing great. And then the airlock opens mm-hmm. and you whack your head as you're going through and you're just out.
Yeah.
There is a moment where the airlock is still open. I think Fennel, through everything that's been going on, you're holding on to a handle. But if you want to let go and go, you can. But, Joutier, you haven't done anything.
Yeah. Trying to think of the best way to, like, play both ends on this one.
You made a promise to Luna Minor not to shoot to kill.
Oh, right. Okay. What if I make the decision for Fennel by basically... Is there a way to, like, shoot the handhold so that she goes out to where her ship is going?
He.
Is there a way to shoot the handle so that I can basically make the decision for Fennel and send him over to the,
You can? Can I suggest something that's a little more aesthetically Joutier?
Sure.
Stomp on the fingers.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Poor Fennel.
Fennel, you can resist this if you want.
I mean, where's my ship?
Below you.
Oh, then I'm just gonna let go.
All right. I'm gonna roll here to see if you let go and tied to avoid the stomp. 4, 5, 6, you do. 3, 1, 2, 3, you don't. This is just for color. This is just does UTA get mad because she didn't get the stomp off? Ah, she got the stomp. That's too bad.
I was gonna let go anyway.
And I do a little wave as he goes down.
See you next fall.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Saf like spins and aims down at you to line up a shot, but she just can't bring herself to pull the trigger. She's just watching. And you fall down painfully, but not enough to take damage, into the open cockpit of the princess in waiting, who was, of course, waiting.
Good for her.
There is also, I think, you see, it's like, you see, Robin floating downward, like, fucking, like, Kingdom Hearts opening, like, head first downward, and like a fucking like cinematic mirror, because like a distance away in the exact same pose is the Phoenix, because no one's piling it anymore remotely.
Does the princess in waiting have arms? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Can I like catch Robin?
That's a manipulate.
Catch and Princess Carrie Robin.
Every carry the princess in waiting does is a princess carry.
I got a 6.
All right. So I think you hold out a hand, and it's like you're matching speed, but like you have a moment of like, you're like, I need to slow down. You're like, wait, no, that's not how wind resistance works. So you stick a hand underneath Robin, and you're now blocking the wind on Robin, so Robin falls a little bit faster and lands perfectly in the hand.
Beautiful.
And I think you see, like... I'm sorry, Kyrie. You see pieces of the Phoenix being pulled off by the force of re-entry.
Oh,
its
no.
Angle is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back on the Cullet, the fire team has arrived, and they're like, Sergeant, what do we do? And Saf Caffrey is still staring at the airlock, which is now closed. And she opens her mouth and she closes it and she says, stand down. Take Delta to holding cells. And they take Luna Minor /UTA off to the ship's holding cells, and as soon as they step into the elevator doors close, and Saf Caffrey just sort of slumps into a chair and drops the gun.
Aww. Luna's gonna turn into the Count of Monte Cristo.
I'm going to turn into the Joker. So tell me, Fennel.
Hey.
What do you do?
That's a good question. I need to figure out how to make Robin not die, presumably. Huge nuisance, by the way, but, you know, I feel like I am a little bit obligated at this point, so make sure Robin doesn't die, and then I'm gonna contact my, my GF, who is...
You can't.
I can't. Why not?
Because you're in the Sol system and they're in the Solar system. Well, system. They're light years and light years away.
Didn't we have a way to get out of here?
You had a way to get out of here. That's going to take a little while.
Oh.
But, I mean, that can... If you want to cut to a time lapse of, like, you've managed to make it back, then okay. But from here, you cannot contact your girlfriend.
All right. Well, I'm not going to do that yet, but I should probably make sure Robin doesn't die.
Okay. And yeah, I think Robin will be all right.
And then beyond that...
I think Robin's
that,
not doing great, but...
Beyond that, make sure we don't get people following us and then get out of this system, I guess.
Jutier?
Yeah?
What do you do with Luna Minor?
I guess at this point I would give her back control, since there's not really any point in trying to control her actions anymore.
It's going to work for her to get, just wait for her to get her court-martial.
Oh. All right, that's the whole thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God.
I mean, you're a former Judge AI. You probably have a lot of appreciation for that. Probably feels poetic to you.
Yeah, but then she did kind of decide to stay and look out for her friends and...
So you didn't kill her.
Oh, right, yeah.
or her friends. You have held up your end of the bargain.
Okay. I'm trying to think of something that would be interesting to do other than, like, court-martial.
I mean, like, if you're bored of her, you could just move on.
Like, move to a different host?
Sure.
Okay.
Is there anyone on the ship you would pick? Or do we want to talk about who it is next time, maybe? Next season, I should say, because I guess this is not going to be a two-part finale. This
season
is going to be one-part finale.
Season two!
Like, would that mean just jumping into someone else, or...?
There'd be a surgery involved.
Okay.
They'd move your chip.
Can't think of anyone on this particular ship that comes to mind, but...
Saf looked promising until they hesitated to shoot, and then you're like, eh, bleh.
Yeah.
Should have gone with Fennel. Would have been a perfect match made in heaven.
Should have gone with Legacy Derek.
Oh, no, not Derek. Derek's the best.
All right, well, I guess we'll tackle how that goes for GTA next time.
Yeah.
And I think we don't see another shot of Fennel, and I think we do what, like, what we can imagine that there's like a post credits scene of like Fennel and Robin arriving back in the Solara sector, but for the rest of the normal ending sequence we don't see them. What we see is Saf Caffrey going back to the Spectre's hideout on Haven, and talking to her dad and reporting Fennel and Robin killed in action.
What?
Doesn't mean they were. She's covering for them.
Oh. Okay.
Hidden depths to this Saf Caffrey.
I mean, hey, listen, she doesn't, you know, she hesitated. She worked with you for a while. She wasn't a big fan, but, you know, got history.
Yeah.
She followed me on Instagram.
She did. And the general was like, well, not how I expected this to go, but we'll try again. There are always more people. And that's the end of season one, I think.
Okay.
Damn, Robin's gonna come back with, like, an eye patch or something.
Two eye patches.
Yeah.
An eye patch over an eye patch.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
With a little magnifying lens.
Yeah.
Is there anything else anyone wanted?
Punished Robin.
Try to think. Can't think of anything.
Was my Luna finale okay, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, a bummer, but, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's what happens. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it'll probably be a little while before season two happens. I think we're planning to do some other stuff in the interim, but, you know, I personally have more to say about the setting and these characters, so I would love to do that at some point.
Yeah,
same.
Our little ragtag group can never really catch a break.
The squad.
Yeah. it was rough going for these.
Yeah, I don't think
we had like a slightly hopeful ending picture at the beginning. At the end, it's like no.
I think what happened, like, just from, I think the beginning of us just trying to, like, land on a spaceship and then land on a colony and a nuke following us and crashing into it really set the scene for the rest of the season. We were on the back foot for quite a while.
Yeah.
We had betrayals. We had moons almost melting.
Classic.
Oh, of course.
Classic moon.
That's the real last, like, that's the secret post credit scene, right?
Zeeban is going, where the fuck are they?
Zeeban like growing their own wheat to make buns for the burgers.
Oh my god.
On Mars.
It's like, well, it's a living.
It's a living.
And it's no, it just says like 5 years later, and then it's like you see like a man in like a suit and sunglasses stepping into a room and saying, "You're a hard man to find, Zeeban Al-Kamar." Dun dun
dun dun.
For some reason, he's fishing. all right. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was thinking about him turning around and I kissed the cook apron.
Kiss the fish.
Yeah.
Kiss the fish.
That's our new send-off for all our podcasts. Kiss the fish.
Kiss the fish.
Yep.
Nope. Hate it. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to Starsong Distance Season 1. Let's do a proper plug zone all the way around. We've earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at JBU3. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia, which, if you're listening to this, odds are you're already on there, and thank you very much. And I also do a visual novel, well, basically a story game podcast that focuses on visual novels when it can, but also just covers other stuff, called Novel Not New, HRN Podcast.
You really need to clean up on what the elevator pitch on Novel Not New, Jen.
I was initially just going to say, like, story podcast, but that already exists on the Abnormal Mapping Network. That's Journal
Updated.
You can't
have two podcasts about stories, and actually, no, Journal Updated is about narrative choices.
Okay, so yeah, we're basically about story-heavy video games, and you can find us at readinggames.online.
And me, you can find me on Twitter at cobweblike. It's no longer Applebee's dad. Besides that, I do art and stuff, and I try not to let that overlap with my nerd stuff. But maybe one day I will.
And I'm Kyrie Page. You can find me on Kyrie A Page on Twitter.com. That's where I post my posts, as one does on the internet. I also host a Danganronpa podcast with Jen, called Ultimate Despair Reprise. You can find that at UDespairCast on Twitter.com. We're barreling through Danganronpa 2, and it's been a heck of a ride so far, and I can't wait to get to the rest of the series.
And I am SixStepMar. You can find me on Twitter at SixStepMar, SixStetmar. Scanlandmedia.com, Patreon.com/ScanlandMedia. You already know that because you're here. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, folks, women want me, fish fear me.
See you in the stars.
Later.
Later!